We check in with our comedians for the week. That was This Morning It Is, Michelle Aycourt and Irene Pink. Kia ora, good morning.
Good morning, Morena Susie. How are you?
Morena, I'm very well. I'm very well. How are you?
Terrific. Look, honestly.
She's high.
I know. I'm a bit crazy. I have spent most of this morning chasing a rat around the bedroom. Not from Tinder, we've just established. My cat likes to bring gifts, and usually it's a dead rat, but this one was a live one. And it, they can fit into very small places.
And they can run so fast.
Run so fast.
I hope it wasn't a native rat.
I don't know.
Are they protected?
It didn't. I don't know.
Did it look annoyed?
Well, it looked like it didn't need protection.
No.
It was huge, a great big grey thing.
Did you catch it?
No, chased it out of the house in the end.
What did you do? You called for your
husband. I'm a feminist, but I got my husband to...
It was a female rat, so it was all right.
Yeah, that's totally fine. I stood, a couple of times I was, sort of shrieking and banging things, and he said, you're not helping. So I went and made coffee, and eventually he chased it down the stairs and out the front door, at which point the cat... showed a tiny bit of interest and gently jogged down the driveway after it.
Just sleeping. See
it
off.
It is delightful how they bring these live gifts into you and then sort of walk away with that disinterest.
Yeah,
air.
Because they hate you. Cats hate you.
Yeah,
they do.
That's why I'm a dog person. Cats hate
us. No, I heard the psychology of this is that they feel sad for us that we don't know how to hunt, and they're trying to teach us by saying, here, have a go at this, see what you can do.
Well, I think this is a good segue into the ancient Indian snake.
Oh, yeah.
That they have discovered used to live, 30 million years ago? No, something. It was massive.
47 million.
40, sorry, I was a bit off.
Right.
But you wouldn't want the cat bringing this. Well, it couldn't, actually, because it was 11 to massively long and 1,000, 1,000 pounds or something?
Kilos. 1,000 kilos, which is more.
Imagine your cat bringing that in.
They said they're not really sure what the snake used to eat. I'm guessing pretty much anything it wanted. And quite a lot of it.
Yeah, totally. It would be hungry.
Yeah, it wasn't a venomous snake, which is nice to know, because it's bigger than a bus, right? It's bigger than a...
Imagine that constricting you. That's a Tinder date.
I got my scarf caught on my handbag, and I took my handbag, shoulder strap, crossbody thing off, and strangled myself with my scarf. Not everybody can do that.
If you wanted to do that, you probably couldn't.
I probably couldn't reenact that. No. But anyway, so this is a snake. They've called it Vasuki Indicus after the mythical snake king in Hindu.
My friend's cat used to bring in eels.
Okay.
But they would be alive. They'd be alive.
And
I know, amazing. And I thought, well, how big were the eels? Eels are quite big. Quite clever that cats can do that. Just reminded me.
And slithery.
Exactly. How do they hold on to them?
I think we're hardwired to find slithery things really yuck.
Yeah,
because they're mostly dangerous.
Yeah.
So the deal with a snake, it's gone now, but they found a fossil.
Back to the story. It's a fossil. It's not alive.
No, it's not.
But it was a constrictor. So there you go. Not as interesting as the fact that people can make their own beer in their own stomach. It's a true thing, apparently.
I love this story. The guy, we don't know the guy's name. He worked in a brewery, but also he was a brewery. So they found out this is some kind of medical condition.
Yes, it is, and it pops up every now and then because the people get pulled over and they test obviously at very high on the alcohol rating, but they haven't been drinking. This guy was a teetotaler; he didn't drink at all, but he had the ability to in his stomach it would basically break down whatever he ate
and carbohydrates,
and turn it into beer,
which is weird because you eat carbohydrates, which turns into beer, which makes you drunk, which makes you want to eat carbohydrates. You'd just be on a vicious drunk. Circle. This is a kind of...
But he's not drunk, so it's not even like it's fun.
Well, but they behave... Most people behave in a drunk way.
Oh, yes. So that's why they get pulled over. You're
forgetful
right.
and stumbly and aggressive. But it's the yeasty version of having the Midas touch. Like, everything they touch just turns into...
They're like those birds, the ones that get drunk. Mm. The kid... Is it the... Which are the birds that get drunk off the berries?
All of them. Yeah. But wax eyes and...
Kereru?
The big
kereru,
fat ones,
kereru.
And they fall off. I love that. I'd be a kereru. If I was a bird, I'd be a kereru.
Kereru just fall off because you're a bit stupid as
that'd be me.
They needed one of these people who makes their own beer
on
flight. I love the story. It's about a plane that ran out of booze. It was on a 3.5 hour flight. And 30 minutes into the 3.5 hour flight, the passengers on board had drunk all of the alcohol available. And initially in the story, they just call it a flight in Europe. And you go, I think I know where that's from.
Yep.
And yeah, it was from the UK.
Yeah, but they won't say which city because I didn't want to upset the people by saying that they were drunken louts.
Yeah, sorry, Susie.
I mean, it might not have been from Edinburgh or Glasgow.
Well yeah.
Could have been from Aberdeen.
We don't know.
We can't really
imagine if you're on that flight, though, because they drank it in 30 minutes. And yep. So for the rest, so hopefully everybody got some. Because imagine if you were just sitting there.
Right? One and only sober person.
Yeah. Or you're just like thinking, oh, I'll just relax, take my jacket off, keep my overhead. Oh, now, oh.
I'll have a champagne with my meal.
I don't think it's going to be champagne they're drinking. It'll be lager.
Because the thing about drinking on a plane, not that I've done it, I think I have, is that altitude makes the alcohol behave in a different, like it's more powerful on a plane.
Yes,
right?
That's true. And I tend to overdrink because I think it's free and I don't like flying. So I'm like, yeah. So it's not a good thing. And I am my own brewery again. I also wanted to talk about this, though, this other story that I liked about this poor business owner in New Lynn, not to diss New Lynn, but who wanted to go and take his business's cash into the bank, but the bank wouldn't accept cash over the counter, which is interesting because I know that everything's self-service now and a lot of the banks don't have the ability to take cash over counters anymore.
Because it's slow and there's not enough tellers on.
Exactly. Well, no, this is you basically have to use the automatic machine to do everything, basically, which is fine. But it's just it does seem a bit weird that the one thing that you want your bank to do, they can't do. And it sort of points to the fact that life is sort of, it's like when you go to the chemist to get your HRT patches and they never have the right size and they make you cut them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they always say it so like, oh, you just have to cut it. And you're like, well, can't you just order the right size? And No. See, it's all just inspiring.
I feel for this guy. If only there was a place where you could take cash and store it safely.
Yeah. Who wanted cash?
Put it into your account.
Exactly. And are we moving away from cash, but it's not like we have stopped producing it. It's still out there.
I took some cash out last year. I've still got it.
Have you?
Yeah, why did I take it out? I don't know. But it's still in a purse. Yeah, I said purse with a book voucher. And I sort of feel like a book voucher and cash are kind of the same thing. They're just kind of pieces of paper that suggest money.
Yeah.
That you could turn into something. I was quite impressed that a guy who runs a business in New Lynn was taking his cash to the bank rather than just popping it under the mattress.
Well, no, because I take my dad's cash to the bank in New Lynn, actually, to the ANZ, who are very good, I have to say. And I put the cash into the cash drawer, but I do it three times because I'm so obsessive about making sure the cash has gone in.
Yes.
I think everyone that's waiting in line to use the thinks I'm a bit weird.
Well.
Yeah. But I do check it three times. So, move to the ANZ, I reckon.
Okay.
Mr. Business Person.
There you go.
Make your own beer in your stomach, move to the ANZ. I'm not affiliated with any of the banks, by the way.
Other banks are available.
Yeah. Yes.
Flight of the Conchords. So this is an interesting story. I don't know if you know him personally. Arj Barker is a comedian that's come to New Zealand a few times. He's a very popular guy on the scene. And he did a show in the Melbourne Comedy Festival where there was a baby present, a 7-month-old baby present. And he got into it and he was distracted by the baby making noise. So he kicked the mother and the baby out.
Kicking is a strong way of describing. Know. Could you go now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
There was no drop kicking of babies.
No. But he got a lot of flack for it. Well, I mean, it's good advertising for his show. But I sort of thought, I don't even like, I never used to like young-looking people in my shows.
I don't like children.
No.
I mean, sorry, just in
shows.
You
love children. Yeah,
I do love children. I've got some. Well, one. And she made more. It's like, that's how it works. Circle of life. But, I mean, I find the two things for me is I found it really, a lot of the comments from people afterwards were about, she had a baby, she shouldn't be allowed out of the house, which I'm not entirely on board with at all.
Yep.
But I also know what a chilling effect having a kid in the audience has for the rest of the audience around you.
Yeah.
So it's not just the fact that you're hearing slurping, gurgling, crying,
all
of those things, but everybody else is just like, oh, we're talking about some quite adult concepts with adult language.
Yeah.
And there's a beautiful new human being sullied.
And as he quite rightly said, it is an R15 show, and I think it was an R15 show. And so it wasn't his fault, really.
It was 7 months isn't 15 years old, is it? Did it buy a ticket? No, I don't think so.
Got free. Yeah, so that was fair enough, I thought.
Yeah.
Fair fair enough.
I think so. I remember I did a show that was aimed at teenagers, but somebody brought a 9-year-old and sat them in the front row on the parent's lap.
Oh.
And as well as it being kind of creepy for me, it's the rest of the audience is going, what?
Yeah.
This is weird.
I think the last story, we've got time for the last one, which is that swipe card that got found in the Antarctic, Antarctica.
This is my favourite story of, I don't know how long. It's not even my favourite story of the week. It's my favourite story of forever.
Oh, I love that for you. This is so great. This is Dave McCaw from RNZ, who had his briefcase stolen out of his car.
21 years ago.
Yes. And got the briefcase back wet. And then somebody who was diving in Antarctica in 2016 found it on the ocean floor. I love the part that they went, oh, look, it's Dave McCaw's card. We can see his photo and name on there. We'll take it back to... And they left it in a drawer back in Wellington for 8 years.
Yeah, but it felt, they can't work out how it got there because all of the tides are different. I like the comments, though. The comments are, the simplest is that whoever stole the briefcase went to Antarctica and threw it away.
I think that's possibly the simplest. Or else it got eaten by a fish that got eaten by another fish that got eaten by a whale that went to Antarctica and had a poo.
It is a fantastic story. Thank you both very much. That is Michelle Acourt and Irene Pink.